concerned.
Hello, America. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Boy, do we have some great shows coming your way in the very near future, because guess what? We're going to have another Nail the Score. That's right. We actually have NFL football. Whether it's going to be good or not, well, you're going to be the judge of that. Training camp's in full swing, and that'll happen through the next couple of weeks. Actually, a lot of the preseason games are starting to be played. So we'll see if the NFL is going to be able to get back on track. But we're not talking about that here in this show. Instead, speaking of getting back on track, it was the Dow that rebounded. Huge point total, 430 points. What a wild ride. What a wild session it was after a terrible Monday. A big chunk of the losses were eaten up after the Federal Reserve said it would keep interest rates low until 2013. So that was the positive news. Remember, the market swings and reacts to news. So the Dow Jones, 430 points, are up 4%. The S&P 53, or almost 5%, 4.7%. And the NASDAQ, 125 points, or 5.3%, is really more what you care about. So the Dow actually fluctuated by more than 600 points on Tuesday. So at one point it looked like, oh, you got to be kidding me, here we go again. And then suddenly it went in the opposite direction. So a few people are breathing a sigh of relief, depending on what kind of stocks they have, by the way. So there were certainly paper losses, about $1 trillion. Oof. And with the sinking on Monday, that's what you had on paper, $1 trillion. That's an ugly day, to say the least. So it was good to see the swing back, hammering in a different direction for what it's worth. Also, part of the buzz around the country has to be over the fact that you've got these soldiers that have come back and their remains aren't identified yet at this point. A big chunk of them, of course, Navy SEALs. In fact, 22 of the SEALs were part of that elite training, or fighting unit, rather, that took out Osama bin Laden. And family is on hand at Dover Air Force Base as they try to do that identification process. The president spent a big chunk of his day talking to the families, for hours upon hours before leaving Dover Air Force Base. There was no media coverage, so no photographs of coffins coming in or trying to identify soldiers. And of course they wouldn't necessarily show that, but they would show the unloading of the remains at the base. The families didn't want that. So, and because they weren't identified, the military usually doesn't do that. So that there were no photographs of that. There was none of that going on. Just the fact that they came in. Everybody is well aware of that, and it's now about getting some dignity back to these families and letting them have whatever minuscule amount of closure you get when you bury somebody or you honor them with ceremonies and whatnot, because that's what will ultimately happen here. You can't say enough. I know I say this phrase all the time, but you cannot say enough about the people who have risked it all in this war effort, in the voluntary military, because they certainly did not have to do that. There were a lot of choices that were made here, and SEALs, and frankly, for that matter, anyone who serves, they know ultimately in their minds what can happen. It's hard for the relatives. So young children without fathers and women who lost young sons and they won't go on to see them get married, etc. That's a tough, tough burden to bear, to say the least. I don't want to bring up the debt ceiling nonsense, but it's worth just throwing this one thing in. You know, this supposed super committee and the super committee may solve all the problems that were left behind when everyone scattered for vacations in D.C. till after Labor Day. The Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, made some picks for the super committee. And what the super committee has to do is find trillions of dollars to actually whack from the federal budget. And who he is appointing, or who he would appoint, would be Patty Murray from Washington, the Senate Finance Committee Chair, Max Baucus from Montana, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman, John Kerry from Massachusetts, and that's some of the choices so far for this committee. Now, all of you know this, but just worth a quick refresher, under the debt ceiling deal that was passed last week and signed by the president, these 12 legislators, six Dems, six Republicans, and it's equally divided, by the way, between the House and the Senate, will have to thrash out a plan for $1.5 trillion in deficit reduction. So those cuts come on top of the initial round of more than $900 billion in spending cuts that's already been locked into place. Now, if the committee, which even money says it won't happen, but if the committee doesn't reach an agreement or Congress fails to pass whatever package it recommends, they'd have a trigger mechanism. Don't you love that word? There's a trigger mechanism. The trigger is cocked and ready to go that will actually enact across-the-board cuts in government spending, including for the military. And the military, not thrilled about that, let me tell you. So the Republican Senate appointments to the committee, and the Republican-Democrat House appointments have not been announced yet at this point who it's going to be, but that's just a couple of people that will be on the committee. Baucus sometimes can he can get along with some of the Republicans there, and I don't know. I don't know ultimately how they get ahead of that trigger mechanism. I think they're going to have a hard time coming up with any sort of agreement. I mean, this has been the problem in Washington. I don't see that they're going to suddenly switch and give in to that pressure like, oh, okay, we're on this committee, and now we have to be bipartisan. We're going to be friends, and we're going to solve this. We can do this. I wouldn't be so sure. I wouldn't be surprised if the mechanism kicks in, as it's very hard to get a quorum from all those kinds of people. Plus, you're talking about mixing in the House and the Senate. All right, I wanted to have a daily salute here in this hour of America tonight with all the negative news that we're constantly raining down upon you. There are some interesting things happening, including this one. This man has to feel blessed after this, although I'm sure in trying to get himself out of his situation, it wasn't so easy. But there is a man who survived a five-story fall, and he was impaled on the fence. So just 33 years old, immediately taken to the hospital, falls five stories from a downtown apartment building, and boom, he hits that fence. And that might have saved his life. It happened at 1 in the morning. Two of the posts speared the front and the back of his neck. He was getting off of work at a downtown. There was a guy that was getting off of work at a downtown restaurant who saw the fall and immediately called 911. And apparently he's struggling, but he's doing okay. And he looks like he's going to survive. Wow. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Each and every show here on America Tonight, we go inside the Beltway with talk radio news. One of my favorites, the Baz, is back. Ken Bassinet joins us, and boy, there's a lot to talk about, including, sadly, let's start with the rough news first. I mean, we all have heavy hearts about this. There's no doubt about it. We've been talking about this the last couple of days here and there on ATN. You can't say enough about the sacrifice certainly any soldiers have made, and you look at the Navy SEALs that went down in that Chinook. I can only imagine what that must be like for those families. Just awful. And at Dover, where they come back for their remains to be identified, because, of course, the way that chopper went down, as you know, they had a hard time. They can't identify a lot of these guys, and there was 30 people in all. So, Baz, that was certainly the big thing today in greeting them, if you will. The president was on hand, am I right?
Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, the man catches a lot of flack and has, as you know, since, you know, the debt debate about not being a leader. But he woke up this morning and he threw his schedule, you know, out the window and made the decision to very quietly go up there. There was no press, which I think was appropriate, quite frankly. The families made that call, a majority of them. He choppered up to Dover Air Force Base, and he spent time. There were two C-17s, which brought the remains in. I'll correct you on one thing. There were 30 Americans who went down, but altogether there were 38 people who died.
Yeah, you're right, 38, yeah.
The other eight were Afghanis, and
yeah.
This will tell you just how bad it was. The Afghanis had to be sent over as well.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to be identified.
Yeah.
And it'll be DNA, dentistry, fingerprints, the usual. So it was two aircraft that carried the remains of the deceased, and the president went on each aircraft with a military aide, spent time praying and just paying his respects, and then came off the two aircrafts and then went into a hangar, and there were 250 family members and also comrades, other members of the units of the deceased. And it was described as, and this can only be an understatement, you know, somber and very quiet. The president didn't make any remarks to the group en masse. He spoke to as many people as he could, and everyone who wanted to talk to him. He stayed for all afternoon. He arrived morning and basically stayed all afternoon and had individual conversations with everyone. And this is something, I mean, as you're well aware, these among the 30 Americans who were killed, 22 members of the elite SEAL Team 6, of course, the military will never say if they were members who some have said, no, they weren't on the team that got Osama bin Laden. But for the sake of families and protection and everything else, we'll never really know who those folks were. It was really, I'll tell you, with political wrangling and you know, the what I can only describe as a head-shaking, you know, head-scratching, I-don't-get-it decision by Standard & Poor's to trigger this market thing with the decision to lower the debt rating from AAA to AA. It was quite a juxtaposition, I think.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I agree with you.
It was reality for a change.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Sad reality.
Yeah. Yeah, politics absolutely had to be put aside. No question about that. Let's make a weird turn here and talk about some other things, including the fallout in Wisconsin. What's the latest happening now? This Wisconsin thing goes on and on. It has more legs than I think the tallest woman in the world.
Polls closed 9 p.m. our time, East Coast time, I should say, my time, if you will. And some of these races are expected to be closed, so it could be a very long night. There are six Republicans, as you know, who are on a ballot today, and two Democrats next week. The Democrats need to win 5 of the 8 races to gain a majority in Wisconsin and put a halt to Governor Walker's anti-union, anti-worker agenda. But, you know, I think in the bigger picture, if we take a step back, this really is the first political test for Republicans who back the Tea Party agenda.
Yes, you're right.
And it will be very interesting to see, obviously, how it plays. The local campaign finance watchdog group estimates that this these state legislative races, all 8, will cost about $40 million in terms of outside money.
Sure.
And it is just breathtaking when you consider that, you know, it was not $1 million when all the entire legislature ran in 2010.
Yeah, no kidding. I heard it. I heard the turnout has been really high. I want to see those numbers.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. And this is obviously a turnout race now. It's a base race. Whoever turns out the base wins in some of the key districts. A lot of these Republicans, as you're probably well aware, they came in 2010 on that Tea Party wave, if you will. And, you know, they're Republicans in districts that really should be Democratic.
Yeah.
So there is a good chance that the Democrats can pull this thing off.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's the even money, let's say, is on a lot of those Democrats. No question about that. Hey, speaking of running and whatnot, Governor Rick Perry, it sounds like he's in. He's going to South Carolina, New Hampshire, and now just ahead of the debate in the Ames straw poll, guess where he's going next? That would be Iowa. What do you hear on that? What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's wonderful political mischief. The Ames straw poll is Saturday, and that's the day that he will fly to South Carolina, make his speech. Now, you know, for the sake of your listeners, South Carolina is a very important state. It is the first, you know, primary after New Hampshire, the first Southern primary. A heavy fundamentalist Christian vote, and I think the fact that he's choosing South Carolina to, you know, what we all expect to be his announcement speech that he's getting in, doesn't come so much as a surprise. Later Saturday, he flies up to New Hampshire, He has a friend in the state legislature who's been begging him to get in. He will spend time with her in the Portsmouth area, remain there overnight, and then Sunday he will fly, we have just learned today, to Iowa. And the point being, you know, everyone makes such a big thing. When I say everyone, I really should say the mainstream media.
Right.
You know, people of my ilk and their companies spend millions of dollars. It's a great little, you know, I'm very happy for the people of Ames. There's going to be a lot of money is going to be pumped into their economy this week, and that's good.
Yep.
You know, at the same time, make no mistake, if Rick Perry follows this scenario that we all anticipate he will steal the headlines. So for whomever wins this, you know, very overplayed, you know, straw poll that in the end doesn't really make a lot of difference, and I say that because, quite frankly, someone with the organizational talents of Ron Paul could actually win this thing.
Right, I agree.
Probably come in second, but it tells you that a man who, you know, a candidate who probably doesn't have much of a chance of getting the Republican nomination will win the straw poll. I don't think much of it, quite frankly. But, you know, while Governor Perry is not necessarily my cup of tea, I have to say his political play on this is just sort of brilliant.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's like they mapped it out. So somebody couldn't have written a better script for him, as there was that heavy push, are you running? Why don't you run? And then, of course, they had the big meeting in Houston that, well, this isn't political. It's all about God, and people are singing and celebrating.
Right, and that turned out to be a coup also because, as you'll recall, everyone kept talking about, you know, setting the bar at we expect 8,000 people, we expect 8,000 people,
yep.
We expect 8,000 people. And lo and behold, 30,000 show up, and everybody goes, ooh, you know, not even recognizing the fact that in a state like Texas, you have mega churches where people show up by tens of thousands every Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Hey, one last one. We have like a minute and change left. The stock market, brutal. The Dow down over 600 points yesterday. Stocks were up this time. They shot up 430 points higher. So that's good news, I guess. But that's the tip that you're gambling. That's what happens. And the way the market rolls, Ken, you know this, is based on negative news.
It really is. And boy, I'll tell you, to use your gambling analogy, perfect example, everyone was waiting for, you know, the early afternoon announcement by Bernanke and the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
They had their regular meeting today, and no one in their right mind should have expected, you know, the Fed to touch interest rates in this kind of economic climate. And lo and behold, as the announcement comes out, the market's up 100, and then shortly thereafter swings 200 points, so it's down 100. And then in the last hour of trading, it's like everyone went back and read the statement that Bernanke and the Fed put out.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Bernanke is the Fed chairman
right.
For the sake of listeners. And,
right.
You know, they read the statement and you know, they all, like, collectively said, this is nothing new. And then, boom, the market takes off and we get that 430-point gain.
Yeah.
Making up, you know, for at least, you know, two-thirds of yesterday's losses.
That's crazy, crazy stuff. Ken Bassinet, Talk Radio News. We're out of time. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, as always.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money-back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
I brought no one with me. No one would be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse. Vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
Hollywood to talk to Stephen Shohet. He's the author of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. We always have such a good time kicking it around. This week, if you went to the movies this weekend, you might have seen Planet of the Apes. It was number one at the box office. And now there have been several Planet of the Apes, of course, that have been made. The last one was done by Tim Burton. I actually really like that one. Of course, the original to me is the, I don't know that anything holds up to the original, just my personal opinion. But there have been so many of these things made, I've kind of lost track of it all. I think there's a fascination we have with the apes, and starting with the first one, it's now carried through. Stephen, what do you think? Do we have sort of a fascination about this, and that's why we keep, filmmakers keep reinventing this?
I do. If they make an Apes movie, I'm there. I love them. I love the first one the best, just like you. But, I liked other ones, too. When they made the second one, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Charlton Heston was saying that, oh, I don't want to do this. This is like Andy Hardy. I don't want to have, repeated. I said everything I had to say in the first one. And Richard Zanuck, who was the head of 20th Century Fox at the time, or one of the heads, said, Chuck, we have to make the sequel. The movie did so well, and we can't make the sequel without you. So Charlton Heston said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll die in the first scene, and then you can donate money to a school in my name. And they said, oh, that'd be great. And then they had him stick along for a little bit longer. Well, I don't know if I should give away the ending of Beneath the Planet of the Apes, but it's kind of a funny story.
No, tell us. Give it away. Yeah, well, I think a lot of people have seen it.
Okay, well, if the, Charlton Heston, you know, they had him die at the end of the movie. So he suggested that he blow up the world in order for there not to be any sequels. And so that's what happened. He thought, that's it. There'll be no more sequels. But they figured out a way to send two of the apes back in time, or actually three of them. Sal Mineo went with Roddy McDowell and Kim Hunter, and Charlton Heston was thwarted in his plan. So, you know, he tried to kill the whole franchise early on.
This latest one, what was the – and this was very different from the others. What and I think it's the curiosity factor, and that's why it partially did, as I just said, so well at the box office. But what's different about this one, do you think, versus the others?
Well, the motion capture process, where I mean, you don't really have apes there, or people dressed up as apes, I should say. I mean, instead you have Andy Serkis, who did the Gollum and did King Kong and in the stop motion the motion capture process, and is I think the actor most associated with that, and now he's doing the role of Caesar, which was the same role that Roddy McDowell did in Conquest of the Planet of the Apes and Battle for the Planet of the Apes. And of course, the closest movie to this of the five apes movies before would be Conquest, the fourth movie where you sort of see how the ape planet, or how the planet dominated by apes, got started. And I mean, Andy Serkis's performance, I mean, they're using the same technology that they used in Avatar. And who knows if that will ever be recognized for an Oscar type of thing. So far, it's not. You know, people like James Cameron would like it to be. But when Andy Serkis was doing King Kong, I mean, he was doing basically a beast. In this movie, the character of Caesar is intelligent, which you see by watching the movie, how he gets that way. And so there's a lot more emotion. And, again, he's very, very effective at what he does.
I never heard interviews on this, but I'm sure there have been tons of it. But back in the day, did Roddy McDowell like that role? Did he like doing that?
Well, he had a lot of fun with it, and it was tough at the same time. I mean, he was in 100 and he this was a quote from him, that it's like 140 degree heat out there. You know, they were doing it in August in the Malibu area, the Malibu Ranch, and it was difficult being in the costume, and also he was a chain smoker, so that was another difficult thing. But at the same time, he did have a lot of fun doing it, and he would do things like at the end of the day, he would hate to take off his makeup, so he'd drive down the freeway in the ape outfit, and of course, you know, people were startled, although I'm sure some people thought, hey, just another guy in L.A., probably. And then he played a joke on Julie Andrews. He knew Julie Andrews from the play Camelot, and she was in the movie Star in 1968, and she was going through a tough time. She had recently divorced her husband and happened to be in therapy. And she came back from a long day of working into her dressing room, and Roddy McDowell in full ape costume jumped out from behind one of her cabinets and just scared her to death. So he had a good time in a lot of ways. I'll tell you another good story that happened. Charlton Heston, who really was the key to getting that movie going. I mean, the producer, Arthur Jacobs, could not get any studio interest until he got a big star interested in it. And I think, you know, by that time, Charlton Heston was 45, and pretty much the public knew that if Charlton Heston was in the movie, there was going to be integrity in that film, that, you know, that he was not going to headline something that didn't have good, interesting material at that point. And Charlton Heston, there was never any hint of scandal throughout his whole career. I mean, he stayed married to the same lady his entire working life, Lydia. And he and Lydia went to the premiere of Planet of the Apes, and this other woman came running up to him right in front of Lydia and hugged him and said, "Chuck, how are you?" And she gave him a kiss, and he was a little bit shocked and taken aback. He didn't know who this woman was. He said, "Hey, please, you know, get off me." And it turned out it was Kim Hunter, who played the ape Zira. He'd never seen her without the ape makeup.
That's a good story. I like that story. So, I mentioned
a lot of interesting things with that movie. I mean, they have the chimps ate with the chimps. The orangutans ate with orangutans. Like, Kim Hunter and Maurice Evans were good friends, but once they had the ape makeup on, well, you know, orangutans don't hang around with chimps, so they you know, orangutans were like the politicians, and the chimps were like the put-upon scientists. And, of course, the gorillas in the movie are the real militant and angry ones, and one of the reasons for that might have been there were no female gorillas in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, true observation. The movie that Tim Burton made, you know, Tim Burton will do that, as you know, and watching different things he's done. Why did he want to do Planet of the Apes? Do you know, did it just trip his switch too when he was younger?
You know, I can't totally say what his motivation was. You know, I'll have to look into that. But it was a difficult production. I know there were arguments about the budget and the makeup. I think it was Rick Baker who did the makeup for that movie, and he had to do part of it for free. And it didn't go the way Fox really planned it. I'm sure they wanted it to have series and sequels, but. It just wasn't the success that they hoped for. Even though Charlton Heston had an interesting thing in that movie that he actually donned an ape outfit and an ape costume and got to see what it was like to go through that heavy makeup that a lot of his fellow actors complained about. And you had some political issues in that movie too, like Tim Roth. Made a statement that he didn't know if he could do the scene with Charlton Heston because of Charlton Heston's, pro-gun advocacy. But he said that, you know, once they were in the ape outfits, he forgot all about that stuff. But the good thing is, Planet of the Apes, like Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, it can keep coming. And they can go in different directions, and I'm sure there'll be interest in having a sequel to this the way they set it up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I can't imagine that they're not going to have another one. So that would bring. What's the total then? If they right now to date, what's the total?
Let's see. That would make it eight. The next one would be eight. So right now it's seven.
Wow.
So the next one would be eight, and of course there was also the television show, which I used to love. And it only lasted one season, and it was Roddy McDowall starred in that one too. And there were two astronauts that landed on the planet, and he was helping them escape every week. And that one had Mark Leonard, who played General Urko in that movie in the TV show, and he was best known for being Mr. Spock's father on Star Trek, and he was a great actor. I mean, there have always been good actors involved with the Apes movies. I mean. Maurice Evans and James mm-hmm. Whitmore and James Gregory, people like that. Just they always had high quality people in the films.
Yeah, I agree with you, Stephen Showhead. Tell us about your blog again, because sometimes you've got great stuff on that.
Oh yeah, well I don't have an official blog. I write sometimes for BigHollywood.com on my website, Hollywood Stories. I've got a bunch of articles, and I have three products. I've got the book Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. I also have the two really fun audio books, Tales of Hollywood and Fascinating Walt Disney, which are stories, music, and sound effects. But everything's available at HollywoodStories.com.
All right, sound effects. We'll have to talk about sound effects. I love that. I've gone to the Universal a couple times, and it's interesting how some of the sound effects were created. I think people don't realize that. That's one of those look behind the curtain things. We'll have to do that in an upcoming show. Thanks, Stephen. All right, interesting. There is something about this ape thing, like you said, where it keeps on multiplying, and probably there'll be at least a couple more. You know, we've talked about this before. When is too much too much? You know, when do you say give? But I don't believe there is, because there's different generations. So probably people who went to see this, some of the kids that went to see this Planet of the Apes, would have to go back, and it would take them way back to go back and look at how some of the Planet of the Apes were done in the past. Coming up around the bend, sports shorts. We'll be right back.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hey, Bill, pick up line three. It's Brian.
Hey, Brian, what's up?
Brian here. Thanks. Hey, Bill, I just received my shipment of the Safety Net, our full-year emergency food system. I can't tell you how great it feels to personally not have to worry anymore, especially with the growing threats to our everyday food supply.
Brian, not only are you getting 4,320 nutritionally dense, delicious food servings, but the individual serving price is just $1.43 per meal. It's truly great tasting food at amazing prices.
The variety is also a huge bonus, Bill. It's like having access to a full menu of impressive food.
Well, it really is a safety net for those worried about the coming food shortages and how their families can prepare.
It's great knowing I'm covered for the future, but I gotta go, Bill, and get all this food unloaded.
With scorching heat devastating U.S. cropland, there's never been a better time to visit SafetyNetSavings.com. That's SafetyNetSavings.com. Visit SafetyNetSavings.com today.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
NBA superstars are hoping to be inducted into the Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts when they retire. But they aren't the only ones. That's next on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Lil Drums. Every bit as fun as a full-size Nestle drumstick cone and definitely cuter. Visit us at drumstick.com. Vacations are all about family time, but you don't have to leave home to have fun. Take one weekend a month and devote it to family activities. Pull out the board games and puzzles, serve up some treats, or have a picnic. Even without leaving home, you'll feel like you've really had some time away. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
313 people are enshrined in the Basketball Hall of Fame for their contributions to the sport. The building is named after James Naismith. He's credited with inventing the sport at Springfield College in 1891. Player has to be fully retired for at least 5 years, while no years are attached to people who have made significant contributions to the game of basketball. That means coaches, owners, refs, and teams, including amateurs in college and elsewhere. Often the Hall of Fame has been slammed for enshrining active college coaches and some relatively unknown players, while leaving other players and even coaches with a long list of accomplishments out. While some choices are questionable, others are layups, like six-time NBA champ Michael Jordan, or the late great coach of UCLA, John Wooden, who won 10 NCAA titles. You'll get no arguments on either of those Hall of Famers. This is the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts. Sports short shorts to this no get out of jail card for Warren Jeffs. And I have to say, justice was served. Ironically, the interesting thing about Jeffs is one of the things that he wrote down the FBI found in his record book was the quote where he said, if the world knew what I was doing, they would hang me, from the highest tree. I almost got his wish. So he was convicted for the aggravated sexual assault of a 12-year-old girl. We know this, right? And another 20 years for the sexual assault of a 15-year-old girl. It just becomes official, the sentencing part of it. So if you look at this, to me, it is justice, I guess, in a sense. The thing is when you listen to what the people have to say about the control that he had of those 10,000 plus on the yearning for Zion Ranch in West Texas, it's shocking. I mean, to me, it is like being brainwashed. It's not, oh, geez, we believe in polygamy and this is why we're all here. He did some sick, twisted things, and people that were on that ranch took it. They just followed along. Where were the parents in all of this, to me, is the shocking part. Prosecutors wanted the life sentence, and they definitely threw a really graphic case out there, playing a tape that had Jeffs having sex. You could tell he was having sex with young 12-year-old, 13-year-old girls, and telling them how they should act. Ugh. And then a slew of other things that came out, including that record book that the FBI found and some other things as well. And just, I think, terrible what happened to the people that he abused. And not just sexually abused, but he excommunicated some of the church members, probably 60 to 70, when he felt threatened. He broke up maybe 300 families. Think of that, 300 families. Took away their property, reassigned wives and kids. There was a HBO series that just wrapped up, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, called Big Love, and it was about polygamy, a modern day polygamist. But the Warren Jeffs, there was a character that was similar to Warren Jeffs, never being portrayed as a ranch being raided or any of that sort of stuff, but similar things about taking property, rearranging property, breaking up families, all of that kind of stuff. And for some of the people on the ranch, they just can't get back to whatever normal is. It would be a new normal for some of them. But I think that there is absolutely no question that justice was served. I mean, he was trafficking women and kids. I mean, that to me, it was like slavery that was being allowed to just flourish on that ranch. I don't get it. In fact, I think the best thing that I read after Jeffs was sentenced was a former member of the church, someone named Rebecca Muser, said that the verdict won't bring back lost innocence, but she said that it can help others escape from the abuse they might have suffered. And I think she's right about that. It's not going to bring back the things that he did. Even he had a nephew who was in court to see what the sentence was going to be, and he said that he was raped by his uncle when he was 5 years old. His name is Brent Jeffs. That pretty much tells you everything you need to know, right? Now the guy, poor guy's 28 years old, and he doesn't know which end is up in some ways. And I think this is what's happened to some of the people that lived under his spell. And Jeffs just claimed that with the young girls, that they were all his spiritual wives. In all, it was like 78 altogether, 78 women or children. You know, he got nailed for those two kids, and there have been accusations that there were more. But 78 spiritual marriages. Can you imagine? I mean, it's hard to even fathom that, isn't it? Just absolutely unbelievable. But a couple of other things, too, before we exit here on America Tonight, besides the Jeffs stuff. I mentioned before that the fact that it was a big day on Wall Street, when I say a big day, you know, when the Dow plunges 600 plus points, when you open up the week on Monday. It's nice that Tuesday it goes up 430 points. So a little bit of a recovery for the people who have their money perhaps in 401ks or flat out have a little bit of money in some stocks that might have taken a bounce from a rough start. But that's what you're going to see, I think. It's always been that way, but I think you're going to see rippling effects and a lot of up and down, and very tough to predict where the market's headed because of certain other financial shoes, I think, ugly news that will drop in the next couple of months. Also, we started with this, but worth mentioning again, the sad thing that happened earlier in the day. Dover Air Force Base was the site where the remains of the people killed in that chopper crash in eastern Afghanistan were brought, and families were there. And, of course, that's where the autopsies are, not autopsies, but really the coroners are, if you will, in piecing it together with DNA and whatnot and trying to have the remains. It was such a horrific crash, trying to piece the remains together so the families have the actual remains, or they know they can identify the people anyway, on the chopper. And the president was there, and you can only imagine the conversations that were going on. But at least the transfer of the U.S. remains now has happened, and they're still investigating and probably coming up with maybe a few new rules of how some of the transport might happen. In this case, that they were headed out to help a group of Army Rangers on the ground that were being heavily attacked, and that's when they were shot down. Anything else that comes out of it will be leaked, or things that people are able to find out maybe here or there, but I don't think that you're going to get a lot of information out of the government on maybe some of the other things that could have happened in that crash. There's a lot of people that believe that perhaps the Taliban knew that they were coming, so then that makes you wonder, well, how do they know that? Where did they get that intel? Did somebody flip? Was there somebody who was a translator or something else? But that's kind of been thrown out the window and tossed aside as that's not the case whatsoever. One last one to leave you with here, and this too is really a sad state of affairs when it comes to missing people. There's a woman missing. I don't know what it is about Aruba, but there is a woman missing in Aruba. When you think of Aruba, I've been there. It's just beautiful, incredible scenery. And what is it about people that go there? In the case of Natalie Holloway, the famous story, she was on a school trip, a chaperone school trip, and she was 17 years old. Now what's happened in this case, although it does remind you a little bit of Holloway, is you have an American guy that's being detained. He's saying he didn't have anything to do with the disappearance of this woman who was on vacation, a 35-year-old who was out just to have a good time on the beaches there and was with a friend. They haven't been able to find her. They've searched through the air, through the land, through the sea. Ugh, eerily similar, except from the age, to the Holloway story.